You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Good evening.
Saturday afternoon. This isn't James Edwards right here, and you probably figured that by now. This is old Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're bringing you an absolute dynamite program tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm so wound up. It's hard for me to calm down. I've been ready to fight, ready to cry. I'm going to tell you where I've been. I've been just outside of Montgomery, Alabama, a place called Wetumpka, and we've been to the League of the South meeting, and we had a great, great, great meeting there. Dr. Michael Hill is the current president of the League of the South. He's here with us tonight. We're here with Dr. David Duke. We've got our great security here tonight, the fabulous security. Anyway, me and Lee got down here last night. We've had to drive from Memphis through one heck of a storm. I mean, just we got blindsided by the after effects of the hurricane coming up from Florida. We hydroplaned a couple of times, but we made it down here. Well, let me tell you what, people. I've been to meetings all my life. I've been to Campaign for Liberty. I've been to the John Birch Society. I've been to Klan meetings. I've been everywhere you can possibly go. I've never been to a meeting that could compare with today. I heard two of the greatest speeches I've ever heard in my life. Maybe it's just because I hadn't heard them like that. But listen, Dr. Hill, Dr. R.G. Miller, knocked it out of the park. Dr. David Duke, he came on late. He cleaned up, and he's going to clean up tonight. He's going to be our last speaker tonight. We're going to have the guys coming in that Dr. Hill has picked up, and we're going to interview them. But here's what we did. We got down here, like I said, kind of late, and we were supposed to be here yesterday at the meeting, but we couldn't make it. But what they're doing, I want to get Dr. Hill down here as soon as possible and let him tell about. Okay, well, listen, we're going to pull an audible right here. Dr. Duke's here right now. I think he's wanting to go.
Dr. Hill's not here yet.
Dr. Hill will be down here soon. But listen, right off the bat, let me tell you what we did. The League of the South is a group meeting, a very patriotic group, a southern group, and they are. I wish Dr. Hill was here to tell you all about it, what they're for. I'll get him to go into it and explain to it in detail when he comes on further. But anyway, we're going to knock it out of the park tonight, and I'm going to see if Dr. Duke is ready to go on right now and get him. And I want him to tell about all the speech he made today. And without further ado,
you can do it.
Start on my phone.
Okay.
And then we switch your. Hey, Dr. Duke's going to speak right now. And we're. Oh, by the way, listen. We're doing this from a remote broadcast. We have no radio equipment. We had to drive from the compound. We had to drive about 30 miles from the compound. We were set up to do a broadcast, but we could not get cell phone equipment. So we had to rush to Dr. David Duke's hotel. Hopefully we could get better reception. I think we're picking up pretty good right now. But I'll tell you what, I'm telling you flat out, people. I saw the salt of the earth people today. I saw people in overalls, people in khakis and jeans, just farmers, intellectual farmers. I call them overall farmers. They were just the absolute salt of the earth. If you go back in time 150 years, this is the type of people you would see in the South. Very Christian, hardcore Christian. I heard more Bible today than I hear in the Southern Baptist Church. I heard more about blood and bones than I hear any place else that I've ever been. But anyway, listen, people, we're getting ready. I'm going to turn this phone over to Dr. David Duke right now, and he's getting ready to rock and roll, so bolt yourself in.
Okay. Let me put on the headset here, folks. Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, and I imagine James as well, listening by remote somewhere, and we want to welcome him, and we miss him, and we're looking forward to having him back on the air. I just have to second everything that this man just said. You know, I mean, he has been a great supporter, and Dr. Hill's coming in right now, so he'll be on the air in a second with us as well. And I just want to tell everybody that, you know, I've known a lot about the League of the South. I've done a lot of things with so many of their members. A lot of the people that I've known for 30, 40 years are active with the League of South, and I just can't tell you what a great organization it is and how much I've been impressed. It's my first opportunity to really meet for a long time and closely with Dr. Michael Hill, and I just can't tell you how impressed I am with this great individual. He is tall not only in body, he's 6'5". He's tall in mind, in spirit, and dedication. He gave great speech, one of the best speakers I've heard. He is a doctor of history. He has written books on Celtic history, Celtic warfare, incredible intellect. And he's one of those yeoman-type country boy intellects that made America great, such as the people like Thomas Jefferson was indeed, and George Washington, for that matter. All these men were people connected to the country, to the land, but they were men who fought for an idea. And I was just my greatest pleasure. I'm just telling you, I haven't had my second year motion, Eddie. I second the motion that it was one of the best meetings. I don't think I've ever enjoyed myself more, maybe because when I have to do a meeting, I have to do all the work, and I just got to enjoy it this time. But it was great speeches. It was very courageous. And what I liked about this meeting, there was no beating around the bush.
I did.
This meeting was about the critical issues facing us. Dr. Hill presented. In fact, he was the first major speaker to really emphasize the word white, that there's a war going on against, he said it in those terms, there's a war going on against our people, that we're facing annihilation, we're facing the loss of our rights, our liberties, our future, our children. And he was very great about that. And he also touched on a little bit on the subject that I touch on, that I'm most famous for, you know, the Jewish question, the untouchable question, the ultimate political incorrectness. And I just can't tell you. I met his wife. What an elegant, incredible Southern belle, Southern woman. She just was amazing. I'm impressed with her as much as I am with him. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah. Hey, this is Bob and Deerbeck. Listen, people, all you people out there, people in Memphis, they think, they're always talking about, you know, my guts and my courage, being a warrior. Well, let me tell you what, I walked in this meeting today. If you want to see true warriors, it ain't the Bombardier. I mean, I felt like a weakling in there, and I felt like an intellectual midget. I mean, like Dr. Hill said, I'm going to get him, he'll be talking in his own words soon. But a real man, to quote Dr. Hill, is a man in mind, a man in heart, and the man, he pointed to his arm. You can't see me pointing there. But let me tell you what. These are the absolute salt of the earth. We're talking about warriors who are ready to lay it on the line to protect their race. And to quote Dr. Hill, we didn't start the war that's going on right now, but, and I'm not going to steal too much of his thunder, but
Eddie, this is Winston. Eddie, this is Winston. We have to go to a break now.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back to this very special broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm Winston Smith, and for the first 2 hours, my good friend and my elder brother-in-arms, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, is going to be updating you on the haps at the League of the South Conference in Alabama. And I'm looking forward to maybe getting in a question or two. Eddie, I hope all is well there. And it's good to know that you're in good company with Dr. Duke and Michael Hill. So take it away.
Hey, your wisdom. Listen, people, I'm going to tell some of you people out there in the audience about my younger brother, Winston. I'm just giving him a quick intro. He's 2 miles to give it himself. Listen, when I first listened to my very first political cesspool broadcast, I was coming back from deer hunting up in the middle of Tennessee, and I heard this weird program, and they were actually talking about white rights. And they had this intellectual dude coming on there. He was one of the most intellectual people I've ever seen, just smooth and eloquent, hitting on all cylinders. Winston, I tell you what, Winston's probably the most intellectual, even more so than Keith Alexander or anybody in cesspool. I mean, I'm the worst. You can always tell. You know, me and James used to have to put all 50 words of our vocabulary together just to try to match, you know, Winston. But listen, I want you people to know that Winston came in on his day off. This guy is legally deaf. He's having to have a court reporter to write, to translate everything we say here to get it to Winston. So you'll probably notice a little delay in transmissions in this show, and that's because we've gone through hell to get you this show tonight. We've driven through a storm, driven through hurricane winds. Winston came on his day off. He's legally deaf. Sam's legally blind. But we're getting this show to you through the gulag, guys, come hell or high water. And with that, I want you people to know that there's no greater cesspooling out there than Winston Smith. I salute you, my brother. What an honor to work with you tonight. Hey, I'm tingling. My spine is still tingling from the speeches I heard today. Now, I'm turning you back over to the men who made this, two of the guys who made this thing today. And we're also going to have some other guys that Dr. Hill has handpicked tonight to talk to. He's going to come on. Okay, and I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to get the hell out of the way and put these guys back on the radio. Here's Dr. Duke back.
Okay, so I'm here again with Michael Hill, Dr. Michael Hill, He's been a professor at university. You actually taught in a number of schools, didn't you?
Well, I taught at three, kind of junior college, mainly University of Alabama. I taught at for 18 years at a historically black university or college, and I'd never been around any black people before. Man, what an education I got.
I understand that, just a side note, folks, he was telling me the other night, I've been getting to know him, and I've been having a lot of fun getting to know him. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy, both spirit and in terms of his physical form. And he was telling me, this is the kind of nature of the man. He was actually offered a football scholarship at Alabama by Bear Bryant.
Well, let me sort of. I talked to the defensive coordinator, and he said, "Would you like to play football for Alabama?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess so. I was in the 11th grade, so I guess that was a scholarship offer, but I didn't do it. I went ahead and did some other things, but it was flattering even to be mentioned for playing football for Alabama, but it didn't turn out. I'm really glad it didn't, because I like the way my life's turned out since then.
We like the way your brains are holding together.
how old are you now, Michael?
I'm 65. I'm just about a year.
He's really a young guy compared to me.
I'm not either, man. My wife said, "How old's Dr. Duke? About 55? She knows how old I am. So,
yeah.
You know, you're a young-looking fella, too. I take care of myself, and I know you do, too. And listen, that's what we have to do.
That's what I preached today a little
Absolutely,
bit.
Absolutely, you did. Absolutely. And we both fast. We both eat well. And, you know, you got to be strong to fight this fight. Mm-hmm. And God willing, we're going to stay that way and fight it for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a great theme, because all these wonderful people you had at this conference, like Eddie said, this salt of the earth. And all these people, we want them to live a long life. And I just told him flat blank, if you got a few more extra pounds, get rid of them. You know how you do that? Just don't eat.
That's right. Well, I was really happy that you did that, because we're always stressing to our people, men and women both.
Yeah.
Get yourself in shape. I mean, physical shape, obviously mental, spiritual, emotional, et cetera. But, you know, all of that is tied up with your physical health. And we've really tried to get our people to eat well, to exercise, to work out, develop their skills, all these physical things. Because you got to do that to be a warrior. I mean, and we want everybody in the league to be a warrior of some sort, whether they're on the front lines or in the rear, in logistics or, you know, intelligence or whatever. We want them to be a warrior, and they have to have stamina to do that.
They do, and you know what? So many of us, we've got to realize we live in a culture that's not our culture anymore. People that run Hollywood, people run the media, people that run our modern culture, what we're supposed to eat, how we're supposed to act,
they're not
white Christian people.
That's right.
And they have promoted every sort of degeneracy with kids. They've promoted drugs. They've promoted alcohol abuse. They've promoted sexual degeneracy and sickness. Even torture porn. It's hard to believe the kind of stuff that they promote.
Shit.
And all of us, we really have a duty. Not only to ourselves, our families, and those we love personally, we have a duty to our people to stand up and to make ourselves healthier, stronger, live longer.
Absolutely.
And because people who are at this conference, they're the real leaders of our people. Your people, the people that were there today, are the people that this whole Southland and the whole nation is dependent on.
Yes, that's right. And look, they are, as Eddie said, the salt of the earth. I mean, these are just common, good Southern people. But they have taken upon themselves to come out and do this job. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to be working with people like that. And I'm really pleased that you emphasize that very important thing about take care of yourself, you know. And I mean, we've been trying to get people to disconnect from the popular culture for 20-something years. And that's basically what you said. This is not our culture. This is a Judeo culture we have absolutely no.
You said the J word.
I like saying the J word. And I've learned a few other ways of using it, and I'll try to use them before tonight.
That's right. We never used to say Judeo-Christian.
Not
that they took over the media and they brainwashed.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I said it today, you know, somebody calling themselves a Christian Zionist is like, Sam, I'm a Christian Satanist.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, and so many people just do it, I think, out of habit without really thinking about what it means.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, words have meaning, and we need to get our people used to saying Christian and leave the Judeo off.
I'd like to ask you some questions, and, sure. and because if you don't mind me being in an interview along with you, but because I listen to your speech every word intently. I know you listen to mine. And
I do.
And I was, one thing we were talking about, and we talked, of course, you've put a lot of emphasis, your organization has, obviously, on the war for Southern independence, or what was accurately called the war of Northern aggression, the tyranny that they tried to inflict right. upon us when the people of the South voted for their own nation, their own society, right. which is the whole basis of America, right? The Declaration of Independence is
sure.
that principle.
That was right? the secession.
So the question that we were talking about and what I wanted to really voice to you, I pointed out that there's some people talking about the alt-right and different groups around the world and Europe and all that who are not necessarily our same philosophy, but we need to cooperate together to get our societies back. But, and I kind of took that point from what you said and what the other people said, and I kind of took it to another level, and I wanted to get your impression of that. And that was, I said that, you know what, the truth is, even in the 20th century, even the movement that existed, which is totally politically incorrect to talk about it.
Dr. Duke, this is Winston Smith. We're going to have to stop for a break. So hang on, folks. Come back. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The State Department investigating Hillary Clinton's handling of classified information on that private server. The investigation could result in her losing her top-level security clearance. According to former FBI Director James Comey, there were 7 email chains on Clinton's computer that were classified as top secret. An additional 2,000 emails were found with information that is currently classified, and that investigation continues. Anthem says it's pulling out of Obamacare in Wisconsin and Indiana by the end of the year. The company blames a decrease in people signing up and the political uncertainty surrounding the program as its reason for pulling out. Because the healthcare market is so volatile, Anthem says it can't properly plan and price compliant its policies. Anthem pulled out of Ohio in June. Governor Scott Walker issued a statement saying, quote, "Obamacare is collapsing. Growing uncertainty in the healthcare insurance market was created by Obamacare's costly regulations, causing higher premium and the lack of options." He said nothing about the rhetoric on Capitol Hill. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone-in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. This is Winston Smith, and I'm going to turn it right over to Eddie Miller, who is in Alabama with Dr. David Duke and Dr. Michael Hill after a meeting of the League of the South. So take it away, fellas.
Okay, this is David Duke, and I'm here with Dr. Michael Hill. And we'll be talking about, at the break, we were mentioning, in my talk, I mentioned the fact that the Germans before the war, the Italians before the war, that movement, and Spanish, they were all anti-global. And they all believed that every European people, the French should run their affairs. Believe it, even Vichy France was a French affair, which all elected people in France, and they voted like 450 to make peace and not continue on the Second World War. And, of course, the Spanish and the Germans. And the truth is, and the Italians, of course. And what happened was that they believed in their idea that every people of Europe, even individual countries, should run their own affairs. So, in effect, they're really Southern nationals because they believe in the right of people to preserve their own particular traditions, their heritage, and values. So anybody that does that, that is European, that wants them to preserve, you know, they want each people of whatever tradition to preserve that tradition, is really not only our ally, but they actually believe the same principle we do.
Pretty much the same thing that we are, because we have our nation, the Southern nation, meeting the Southern people. Just like Germany has the German nation. You know, it's got the nation state, the borders, the political unit, but the real German nation or the French nation or Spanish nation, it's the people. And we have a Southern nation, even though we are a captive country within the United States or the American Empire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a big believer in the pan-European movement, but, you know, this movement ought not to be one whole inseparable whole, because you know Spaniards are different from Germans, or different from Frenchmen, or different from Scots, or different from Southern. We're all white folks, and we all have that in common, and we ought to all be willing to ally with one another. Yeah, sure. All right, sure.
Go ahead. You can talk right there.
Okay, listen, Dr. Hill. Today we're talking about, and I love it because you bring scripture in, and you mention, and you know, at one time, the Northern Europeans were like the stronghold of Christianity in America. Excuse me, in the whole world. You know, Dr. Stanley Montef used to say that we fight not, you know, against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Dr. Hill and Dr. Duplass have both the same question. Do you think that the spirit that we're really fighting against right now is the spirit of evil from Satan himself? I mean, do you think Satan is guiding this? And I guess go to Dr. Hill first.
Well, I certainly do. I think that all the evil in the world, although God allows it to happen, it's source originated in Satan himself. And as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, I do believe that he is the author of what we're seeing today. And I think that when I mentioned in my speech that when we were in New Orleans and saw that Ford come marching down the street toward the Lee Monument, that we were looking at the devil's army itself, this diabolical force. So, yes, I do believe that the devil is unleashed and God is letting him have his way in certain places. But as I said today, in the end, the victory is sure for the Christian.
Yeah.
And I think between now and then, though, it could get awfully messy, and a lot of people certainly suffer from it. But yeah, I think all of this is from the devil.
You know what people have a difficulty, I think, is they have a difficulty with the term Satan, because the popular view is like this guy red with a red tail and appointed, and if some Christian, no matter what your view, or just a person of morality, when you talk about Satan, it's just another word for evil.
Yeah, Satan is a spirit. Satan is a spirit of
spiritual evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really believe that the Zionists are the most powerful, the most evil expression on the planet, because they've been behind almost every sort of destruction, mass murder, degeneration like the Bolsheviks. They're behind the Bolsheviks. They're behind all the wars that have killed untold numbers of people, Europeans. They're behind the sick degeneracy, sexual degeneracy. They're behind the porn. And so that's when I feel that I want to speak about evil, I think that they're evil personified,
sure,
in my sense. Not all of them, but the group as a group.
Well, I know. Dr. Hill can back me up on this. If you read the Gospel of John, 8:44. Well, anyway, I hope I'm on the right verse. But Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the cream of the crop of the Jews. And he told them, here's what he told them. He said, "Why do you hate me, a man who's come to tell you the truth?" And skipping on down a couple of lines, he says, "I'll tell you why you hate me." He says, "Because, yes, you are of your son, your father Abraham, blood, his bloodline, but of your spirit, but you're the spiritual. Your spirit's father is Satan, and he came to rob, kill, and destroy." And that's who we're facing today with these modern Jews. They're nothing more but the scribes and Pharisees who are out to kill Christ. They're out to kill his seed, and we are the seed of Christ. White Anglo-Saxon American men. I'll see if that'll believe
you. One of the translations are, "You're the sons of the devil, and the lust of ye father ye will do."
Right.
Another part says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him.
Absolutely.
And when he speaketh of a lie, he speaks of himself, because he's the father of the lie." And that is the most powerful indictment of the enemies of Western civilization that you could possibly.
And he was talking to the Jews.
That's right. And also,
this is the Jews' answer.
You go to Revelation 2:9 or Revelation 3:9, and you're going to see the synagogue of Satan.
Absolutely.
And there's no mystery about what he's talking about there.
Well, that's why I left the Southern Baptist Church, because we split on that very doctrine.
Well, the Southern Baptist Church really did a very terrible. They even talk about transgenderism. Unbelievable.
But yes, I'd like to get back to that spiritual evil thing. I've always been taught that the Jews were not the chosen people. That the Jews were the devil's people.
That's traditional. That's the traditional tradition for 2,000 years.
Absolutely. I mean, you meant one more thing.
Hey, I'm going to shut up. Y'all probably heard me say this before, but Dr. Hill just hit another key point. I'm going to shut the hell up and get out of the way after this. But if you'll go to the third chapter of Galatians, and I know Dr. Hill's and Dr. Duke probably know what I'm saying. If you want to know who a real Christian is, okay, once again, my man Paul, the Apostle Paul, he told them, he says, "If you be baptized in Jesus Christ, then there is no male, there is no female, there is no Greek, there is no Jew." Greek in those days was like a Gentile. "There's no bondman, there's no freedman, there's only one in Jesus Christ." And then the last verse of that chapter, it says, "Then, and if you be baptized in Jesus Christ, the same is a son of Abraham and an heir to the promise." That's who a Christian is. It's not some Jew. You know, a Jew can become a Christian. He can accept Christ. Anybody can accept Christ and go to heaven. And but anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up and get out of the way.
Children of God are now called the children of the promise, not necessarily the children of the genealogy.
Right.
That's what it says.
It's a spirit.
Do you agree with that?
I would. You know, a lot of Christians today will say, "Well, we ought not to put very much stock in the genetic thing." Well, why is the Bible from beginning to end?
Mm-hmm.
In very many places, a list of very detailed genealogical information.
Well, there's a very famous verse. We're having a fun discussion today.
Absolutely.
But there's a very famous. There's very famous. And by the way, we love you. Yeah, Eddie.
Sure.
Talk all you want.
I'm going to shut up.
We love you.
These guys get me so excited. I can't always stand it.
There you go again. Okay. Let's get right away. There you go again.
I want to shut up, man.
One of the most classic left uses that says about the Bible, how we're supposed to be race mixers and all that. They use the quotation saying, "From one blood, God made all nations," right? But they don't continue the verse. First of all, from one blood, the truth is we're related to all life on earth. To tell you the truth, we have a relationship with all life. We share 80% of the genes we do with our dogs and cats. You know, we share 95% of our genes with a monkey. We're not monkeys, but we share 95% of the genes. But it goes on to say, from one blood he made all nations and established the bounds of their habitations. And nations is, from translation from the Greek, basically means race,
right?
And our people.
Because right.
Nations, in fact, the natural way of nation, which is in the Southland,
absolutely,
in America, is the basis of a people. Because it's the tribal,
sure,
basis, the common, right, genetics, common genealogy.
You know, too, you know, God does have a chosen people. And people say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, it all hinges on who to whom he had the gospel
go to and preached. And, you know, Paul and Timothy were headed into Asia. When the Holy Ghost comes upon them and says, no, west, Macedonia to the Greeks and then all in Europe. Because that's where God intended his chosen people to be. Now, that's not saying that other people can't come and, you know, be...
Well, the people that they went to, and it says very clearly in the New Testament that the Jews rejected Jesus and the teaching of Jesus.
It does.
And the Gentiles did accept them. And even there's a very good quotation in the New Testament where they say the people, as it was said...
Dr. Duke, I need to stop you there for a minute. Dr. Duke, you need to stop you there for a minute. We've got to go to a break. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
That ain't my style,
said Casey.
Like what?
The umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
I think I'll just ignore it.
And the umpire said,
right to.
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
follow through!
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. It is a very special broadcast. I'm pleased to be a part of it. And we have Eddie Miller, who is in Alabama at the League of the South Conference. And he has, in his presence, none other than Dr. Michael Hill and Dr. David Duke, such esteemed company our own Eddie the Bombardier Miller keeps. What a privilege he has. And, you know, here I am stuck in my little office with my computer, and there's Eddie down there with luminaries of the movement. So let's get back to that. Eddie, take it away.
Okay. Well, yeah, we want to go back to
Dr. Hill, really, and the League of the South. And I got to tell you, as a person who's had a lot of security, I remember as a running for president, that 15 police cars. I've seen a lot of security in my life. I've never seen any better security than what you had. And it was very excellent and wonderful, and you got a lot to be proud of, your work and others, Tiny, many other people, just fantastic work, fantastic.
Yeah, I tell you, our security force is second to none, and not just this year, but it's been improving over the past several years, and we've had some additions to it this year. And I tell you what, my wife is real nervous about things like this, and she told me last night, she said, you know, I really feel safe with these fellas. And she looked at me and said, of course I feel safe with you too, but, you know, I've only got two eyes. I mean, these guys
feel like a baby rocking in a cradle.
Really? Yes, these guys are real pros.
They did.
I mean, these guys are pros. I'm not a pro. I mean, I can take care of myself, but these guys know what they're doing. And I feel really safe, and if my wife feels safe around them, I feel
safe.
Well, absolutely. But, yeah, we had a great conference, I think, because of Dr. Duke's presence. Let me go back just for a second. I went down to New Orleans on May the 7th to stand at the Lee Monument, and I was going back home that night to Alabama, and I looked at my phone. I'd missed a call. It was from David. So I called him back, and I said, hey, you know, it's Michael Hill. He graciously invited me out for breakfast the next day, and I said, David, I'm halfway back to Alabama. We talked a minute. I said, why don't you come to Alabama to our conference in next month? I said, better yet, why don't you speak? And hey, David Duke, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. He said, okay, I'll be there. Man, how easy. And he came the next day. We started advertising, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. We've had the best attendance, I think, that we've ever had. I know we had the best attendance we've ever had in our building in Alabama. Dr. Duke was there. And all these people said, I got to come see Dr. Duke. And he did not disappoint. He was the keynote speaker. He kind of summed it up. Everybody else sort of dealt with sort of part of the picture, and Dr. Duke sort of brought it all together and saying that our race as a whole is in peril, and we must do something about it. And, you know, most of us are Southern nationalists, and I was saying before, we're kind of, you know, cousins to the Germans and the French and all the other Europeans. Mm-hmm. But, man, we realize that we're all in the same boat, and that damn boat has a hole in it, and we know who's put the damn hole in it. So we got to do something about, A, patching the hole before we go down, and do something about those bastards that are putting holes in boats.
That's right.
That's right. So I was very pleased. I mean, I can't thank Dr. Duke enough for being there. We hope he'll come back to see us sometime.
I can't wait. And, I'm ready. You call me anytime.
Well,
I'm there in a heartbeat.
I appreciate that, and I'm ready to go and do some things on your behalf if you'd like
to do that.
And we made some other good alliances.
We're going to have a meeting in Tennessee. We want you to be there and definitely speak.
I'm much obliged to you over that. But
September 30th, folks.
All right.
In Tennessee. We will also James Edwards there, and you too, Eddie.
You better believe it.
All right. So
you guys are there.
That sounds like a winner.
Well, let me ask Dr. Kim one quick question, and I can't believe I hadn't asked this, and I'm going to ask you to Dr. Dirk in a minute. This is probably kind of amateurish, but Dr. Hill, tell the audience how long you have had this organization, the League of the South, and why. This is probably what James likes to say. James always likes to say, well, this is probably a rhetorical question, but. And it may be a rhetorical question, but why did you organize and start the League of the South? What drove you to do that?
Well, it's quite interesting because as I was speaking today, almost at the very time I was speaking, 23 years ago, we were meeting in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, at the meeting that would form the League. And it was about, and we did 3 days. We did the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of July, June. And on the 24th at midday, everything was just falling apart. I had invited like 40 people to come, and I went home to eat. We didn't live far from where we were meeting, and I just shook my head. My wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I think I just wasted 40 people's time and money. We could not agree on anything." So I went back after I ate dinner, and by the grace of God, things just started falling into place. And by that afternoon and the next day, which would be tomorrow, the 25th of June, 1994. We had a Southern Nationalist organization. We had a long way to go now. We had a lot of people in there and my friend Sam Dixon was
hard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sam, yeah. And Sam took me aside, and he said, Michael, let me tell you something. And Sam was a few years older than me. I always looked at him as kind of an older brother. I always listened to him, very wise. He said, you will not get to where you want to go with the people who are here today. And I kind of cocked my head and looked at him. I said, why do you say that, Sam? He said, just trust me. He said, when you get to the point where you want to be, most of these people will be gone, and there will be other people that have come along the way. And, you know, he was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Out of that initial 40 people, you know how many people were left? Me, two others. One of them was Sam.
Well, that begs the question, what was wrong with those other people?
That's what I'd like to talk about. They were not really Southern Nationalists. They thought they were Southern Nationalists. They could play the Southern Nationalists game up to a point. But when you got up to the real question,
the real issue, right?
The real issue, they would not
survival
step
of our
over
people.
The line. The survival. Well, first of all, the identification of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a lady, and God bless her. She said, well, Dr. Hill, who are our people? And I said, well, me and you. She said, now, how would you define that? I would say, well, white people. So I went back to the board of directors, and I said, we can't say that.
W word, man.
We can't say that. We'll be called racist. I said, well, we won't be telling the truth. So I had a running battle from 1994 until 2002 with my board of directors, and people came on the board and went off. But by and large, for 8 years, almost 9 years, I had to fight behind me. I had to fight in front of, behind me with my own board of directors. Finally, I got to the point where in 2002, I gave a speech about our people. And the question was, who are our people? And I gave it up in Virginia. I'll never forget. I was
Rainbow Confederate. That's what they
exactly. I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and at the Virginia State meeting. And I gave the speech, and there were two of our current board members there in attendance, and it was being videotaped and all that. And they were wincing as I was giving the speech. And I said, something is wrong here.
There's something wrong in there when people that cherish the Confederate history have to grab the closest black person and bring them to their bosom and tug and hug them.
I'm not a racist.
They're a good Confederate and they're a good person.
Yes. So to be concise about it, Eddie, here is the problem. Even though it was not my vision, I was a younger man. I really didn't quite know how to do this. And we had a lot of rainbow Confederates that we've since come to use that term to describe them, who wanted to keep this thing like maybe just a little heavier version of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, you know? And I said, we can't do this. And I had several people saying, you have simply got to defy the board of directors and see what happens. And I did that. I finally did that. And two or three of them resigned. And I said, glory, hallelujah. Now we can get some people on the board who want to do what I want to do.
You know, you talked about a warrior today in your speech very wonderfully, and there's an old saying that eight lame men walking arm in arm don't make one gladiator. You're better off with three or four people who are really warriors by your side than eight people, half of them are lame.
Sure. What we had was addition by subtraction. We had addition by subtraction. We lost some people. We lost some people, but it was baggage. I'm not going to call any names. I'm sure that people who've been around the league for long enough or know a little bit about us can fill in those blanks. And yeah, I don't. Those men were what they were. I mean, they're what they are, and I'm what I am. And we didn't fit together. So I'm glad that God, in His providence, removed them from the organization for whatever reasons. But finally, beginning about 2004, 2005, I began to slowly put into leadership on the board and other places, people who thought like I did and who were truly Southern Nationalists. So it has been a struggle internally and externally. And in the fall of 2000, we finally got what we needed. And this kind of propelled us forward. And that is, Southern Poverty Law Center declared us to be a hate group.
That is the best accolade you got yet.
It was.
It's like my...
Man, I was in Missouri at the Missouri State meeting.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't have a cell phone then. And my wife called me up on the phone at the hotel, got my room, you know. She said, the phone's been ringing off the hook. I said, what's going on? She said, Southern Poverty Law
Center... Dr. Hill, I need to cut you off for a moment. We got to go to a break.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.